I'd like to read a few verses in the first epistle of John. You know, I was out front there a couple nights ago, or last night, I forget which, and there were some small children. And somebody said, well, I said, why aren't you going down to the singing? I said, they're too young. I said, well, I thought there was a young people singing. So, but they're too young. So I got thinking about that, you know. In this in his first epistle of John, chapter 2, we read about young men. And as I read it, you know, I said, my, maybe I'm too young. Because there is a spiritual young, you know. 1 John 2 and verse 13, the middle of the verse. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. Verse 14, toward the middle of the verse, I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth, and you have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him, for all is in the world. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. Be that doeth the will of God, abideth forever. First thing it tells us about somebody as young is they've overcome the wicked one. Let's read the passage in Ephesians 6, well known to us all, about that wicked one. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And then back in chapter 3 of Ephesians, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to youward. Well, in our chapter 6, I really want to speak about chapter 6, but I was thinking of it in this sense. If you have heard, you are in a warfare. You know, this expression in chapter 3, if you have heard, is not if you just happen to be where Paul's doctrine was preached. It has a spiritual, a moral significance. Many places around read this book. They don't hear about the dispensation committed to the Apostle Paul. Oh, I want to tell you, there's something special in the Bible given to the Apostle Paul that opens up heaven over our heads. And if you have heard, he could say, all haven't heard. And whether you feel young enough to be in this warfare or not, if you have heard, you're in it. And our enemy has no scruples. He never gives up. If you best him today, he never says you win. Tomorrow he's back fighting again. He never knows. He never has any sense of right and wrong. And when you win, you never really win with him because he doesn't give up. You know, our Bibles tell us, resist the devil. That sounds easy enough, doesn't it? And he will flee from you. It's been well stated many times, you never fight a conquered enemy. And he is a conquered enemy. And think of what he has to do. He has to persuade us to trade off the glories of heaven for the miseries of hell. And is he successful? Is he serious about it? Am I serious about it? I'm important to the devil. I'm important to God. Why? Because I've heard. And if you have heard, Well, we read here, finally. Well, it's the final end of the conference, isn't it? So we'd add this last note. May we add it before God. My brethren, if there's someone here to whom I cannot say my brother, you know you're in danger, as we've heard in the conference. You're in danger of ending in apostasy because, as we heard early in the conference, profession without reality is the road to apostasy. And in apostasy, in dying or remaining in your unbelief at the coming of Christ, you join a man in the Old Testament named Abner. And Abner died a fool's death. He said, dieth Abner as a fool dieth? He died right outside safety. He got very close to safety and didn't make it. Oh, if you have heard. Have you heard? I don't mean to just sit there listening. I'm talking about the spiritual, moral sense. Have you heard what's been said? Because we've had some glorious things presented to us in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have, you're in this warfare. And you say, oh my, I don't know whether I can say I've overcome the wicked one and I'm strong and the word of God abides in me. You're in the warfare. And so we're exhorted here to take on the armor of God. Because our enemy is very subtle. And he knows exactly how to work you and work me to make a fool out of us. Abner won't be the only fool. Well, we can think of unbelievers, can't we, who are tricked into doom. The classic one in the scriptures to me is a man named Herod, who heard the word and heard the word and heard the word, and one day he cut it off. And why did he cut off the head of John the Baptist? The devil just worked him right up into a corner and embarrassed him into hell. He set him up on a fence, and all his friends were looking at him, and the devil flicked him into hell. He cut off the head of John the Baptist. That sealed his doom. The Lord wouldn't even speak to him when he came before Herod. Life is solemn. Life is serious, if you have heard. Oh, we've heard, beloved. We've heard. Now, we're in this warfare. It's a serious thing. The enemy of our souls is serious. Every day he starts it serious, and you're important to him. Because he rules over, in our verse 12, over rulers of darkness of this world. He rules over a realm of darkness, but you represent a light to him. You have heard. And when you have heard God's word, you say, that's the word of God. Oh, I take that in without reserve. It's God's word. You present a challenge to him. And there comes a time in an evil day. We know what an evil day is, don't we? We've all read or heard about Job in our Bibles. An evil day came on Job. Job was, as it were, turned over to Satan. Satan was allowed in on Job. Oh, but we delight to see him stand, don't we? We delight to see him stand. Just like we can sit and just mourn and just we're shocked at the thought of Herod just in an instant sealing his doom. Because he was too embarrassed, too proud. You ever wonder how powerful pride is? And how many people are sitting down unrepentant and they can't say I'm wrong? Because they're sitting in darkness and tied up in the chains of pride and the devil's sitting there laughing at them. You think it's not that strong in you and me? Oh, it is. Oh, it is. It is. So our enemy here, he rules over darkness, and darkness is lies. But you've heard the truth. I've heard the truth now. And so as I come into his realm of darkness, as I'm down here in the world, if the Lord so leaves us here, I represent a threat to him. I'm light in the darkness. And these powers, they're called principalities and powers and rulers. These are God-created beings that are in rebellion. And in their rebellion, They have nothing within themselves to restrain them. And that's the way they would have us to be. They would have us to be without self-restraint, without any restraint or control within. So what we're exhorted to be is strong in the Lord. And if we read over these things that would constitute our armor, it's going to talk to us about that which is within. Now, the Lord Jesus comes into this scene. Now, if we think like some are led to believe by the enemy of our souls that, oh, he will bless his own, but he won't. He has no friends. He's a great deceiver. Even if he could, he wouldn't bless. That's not him. You've got your enemy. You're wrong about your enemy. Unless you can really see what he's like, we really may not know what it is we're up against. But anyway, the enemy of our souls is so well adept at his own work that he has wiles. And if the word of God would tell me to resist the devil, what is he seeking to do? To keep me from resisting the devil. If I resist him, he has nothing to say to me. Now we can think about the book of Job, and as we say, the devil just swept across Job's life with terrible, we call them tragedies. Is that a conquered foe? No, this is not talking about his outward power to come against you or to come against me. It's his inward power to deceive me that he's defeated. You see, that outward power he still has, and if God merely lift his hand off of any one of us, he'll raise the nation against us. Because that's what he did with Job, wasn't it? He raised the Sabaeans and the Canaanites or something. Two nations he raised against Job. He could raise this nation and bring the soldiers in on us. That's his world. But God holds his hand over us and keeps us every day. If he didn't, we'd never make it through a day. That's the outward power that Satan has. But there is that inward thing. And he tells us, be strong, that we may resist. We start off with the wiles of the enemy, and they're all within. I can resist within, and he's defeated. And really, if we stand like the three in the fiery furnace, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were there with the Lord, weren't they? They knew how to resist the outward, and they won. And God stepped in and manifested his outward power against the enemy. But our place is like their place. Someone was mentioning recently, they said, we don't know if God will deliver us or not. We don't know whether God will outwardly show himself against the enemy of our souls. But we know one thing, we're not going to give in. They resisted from within. Their faith stood firm and God stepped in. And that's with us. We may pass through a day and say, well, we don't know whether God is going to come in and resolve this great problem, but I know one thing, I'm not going to give in. And then that path of faith we will find, like they found, that the Lord was there. And not even the smell of the smoke passed on them. But I want to warn us again. We're up against strategies, stratagems and wiles and tricks from an enemy who has no scruples whatsoever. He'll use anything against you. And he has one goal in mind. You know, I've often thought that as he came in on Job, he could kill all of Job's children. He could take away all he owned, but that didn't win the battle. He had to make Job curse God. And that was what would win the battle. And when it comes to you and me, what's the battle? How does he win? How do I lose? Here it says stand. If I stand, I win. Job stood firm and won. The three in the fiery furnace, they stood firm, they won. You want to win? Then stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, and therefore, you know, we as young people, we are often concerned with macho and strength. That's not what that won't work. It's exactly what the enemy would like for us to do, is to get occupied with that, as though that has merit in the warfare. And just surely we have weapons here. And we have a, you know, weapon of prayer, and we have a weapon of a sword, and so forth. But that isn't where he starts. He starts with you, me. You be strong. You be strong. And as we're strong, what that simply means to me is I stand in the presence of God and draw from him because it's strong in his power. Now, we know someone was pointing out to me recently something I really enjoyed, that these are rulers of the darkness of this world in heavenly places. If you read the book of Daniel, and we certainly don't have time to look at it, but if you read chapter 10, you'll find that Daniel prayed and the angel started fighting. And 3 weeks later, an angel fought his way through to answer Daniel's prayer. You ever think that someone like you or like me could start a warfare and up in heaven? Oh, it's a battle. The truths that we've heard, if we want them, we have to stand. And Daniel's prayer stirred up, agitated heaven itself. Job was a man who was walking along and never thought, as far as we know, that heaven was looking down on him and that he would become the touchstone of a battle of heaven itself. But you see, that's what opened over our heads. And the minute you open up glory over my head, there's an enemy to come in to keep me out of that. So it is serious. If you have heard, these things are real. So just a thought as we go through these, and then we'll pass on. The rulers of the darkness of this world would tell us that wherever you go, I just had the privilege recently of going out to other countries, but wherever you go, behind them there are other powers. Behind the President Reagan, there's other powers. Wherever you go, there are other powers. And God, of course, establishes rule and authority on earth and tells us to be submissive to the powers that be. But the enemy of our souls comes in, and if he can lead them astray, he seeks to use them to lead you and me astray. So we must just remember where we stand. We stand in the enemy's world. We're pilgrims in the enemy's world. And we obey the president. We obey his representatives. We obey that before God, realizing all along that there are other powers behind all this. Now, verse 13, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. We spoke of the evil day, and having done all to stand. We shouldn't kid ourselves. If my conscience tells me there's part of the armor I don't have on, we should not try to make it up by being overactive or overly concerned in another part of the armor. You can't leave off part of the armor and say, oh, I'm going to make it up by... You can't. You got on the whole armor of God. It's a divine thing that he gives us as we read through it a few thoughts. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. I want to just say what a free thought about this. It's, you know, you got to be honest. Am I really honest down here? At the bottom of all my thoughts, am I really honest or am I kidding you? I'm not kidding the Lord, and I'm not kidding myself very much. If you're not really honest all the way down to the bottom of your thoughts, that's where the battle begins. Really, are you honest? How many people's lives have been wrecked by something down in the bottom of their conscience they never really faced up to and had out with the Lord, as we've heard things in that would have cautioned us about this. But lives are ruined simply because of not being honest in the bottom of your thought when you're way back in your own bedroom or wherever and nobody's around and all you're doing is thinking. Because that's what gird about the loins mean. The loins are the most private part of a person, and gird about means you get the truth down there. And whatever would seek to come out of the very bottom of your thoughts has to meet up with the truth of God. And let the light shine down there and deal with God about that point of life, and that governs what comes up and out. But that's where the battle starts. Let us seek grace before God, never to kid ourselves and never to kid anybody else, to live way down there in the light. Breastplate of righteousness is simply do that which is right. All these things are practical. We're already saved, and I know where I'm going to stand before the judgment seat. It doesn't bother me. But these are practical things. Do that which is right, and it will govern your affections. because the breastplate governs affections. It keeps the enemy from bringing something to the affections that would lead us away. And how many of us, see, probably have been tempted or had an experience where I loved something too much. I had affection for something too much. It led me away from that which is really first priority. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, the gospel of peace in the Bible is presented in two ways. Peace between man and God, and peace between man and man. You have your feet shod, they're 2 feet. You got to walk in the assembly. You got to know what it is, the truth of the one body. Peace between man and man. Because he made both one. He is our peace who hath made both one and reconciled both in one body to God. Peace between man and man and peace between man and God. Feet shod. The preparation of the gospel of peace. Oh, we don't just preach souls saved, right? We preach souls gathered. What greater privilege could you have than to be gathered in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? It all is a part of God's truth and God's blessing. It all is a part of what he has to tell lost sinners. Above all, taking the shield of faith. And that's something that's not on me. It's something that's out here. And that's what faith is. It's objective. It's something out there. 2 verses I'd like to refer you to and call out the shield of faith. You probably have others. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? No matter what the enemy of your souls would fire a dart, cause you to doubt. I wonder about this and what about that? I sure don't understand that. Oh, but I know the judge of all the earth will do right. For we know that all things work together for good, them that love God and are called according to purpose. It's a shield of faith. All things work to good. Any kind of a doubt or problem would arise, I can just raise that verse up, and it just not only wards off, it quenches the fiery darts. If there's a power there to quench these doubts and these fears, just simply looking up to him and taking his word and using it for my own soul's benefit to guard me against the things that the enemy would fire at me. Helmet of salvation, verse 7, he takes the helmet of salvation. This is not just the fact I know I'm saved, but it's that which guards my mind is the settled assurance that I am saved in the power of Christ who gives me liberty, salvation today from all the problems I have. Now, when I cover over my mind with that, what does it do? It stops me from free thinking. I just bring it all to Christ. And really, we have a world full of, it's very modern today to be a free thinker. Challenge everything, question everything. But you can't do that, you see. We have the answer to everything. And we come to this book and submit to it. We bow before it. To learn from God, and we just govern ourselves. Well, I don't know about that, but that's all right. Because I'm delivered from this. They say, oh, this will happen to you, that'll happen to you. You better watch out. Nope, it's all well. You govern your thoughts, and you don't allow your mind to run away into preoccupations or worry. You know where you stand with God today, not just in eternity. You know where you stand today. Where do you stand today? Is there some problem plaguing you that's bigger than God? Oh, no, the guarding of those thoughts would be to know that salvation is I am saved, I'm being saved, and I will be saved. It's all part of God's work. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And that's used. And I would urge each one of us that if you can't go to Scripture and show somebody where you stand, you need to be in prayer about it. Why do you say, where do you go to church? Can you go to Scripture to answer that? It's not easy. Oh, why don't you do this, or why don't you do that, or what do you do this for? You go get you a verse, and in the presence of God, you seek a verse for your soul. That's what that means. It's the sword of the Spirit. It's the Word of God. It's a verse. The Lord Jesus used a verse against Satan, and he just stopped everything. And when you don't have a verse, you say, my, I don't know how to answer that. You need to be in prayer about that. I say be in prayer because that's where all wisdom comes from. Deal with God and your soul about it. Say, really, why am I there? What am I doing? Get yourself a verse. Something you can go to and say, there it is right there. And don't stop your exercise till you get one that satisfies your soul and something you can show to anybody. See, don't stop your exercise. Keep it up till you get your answer from God. He's there listening. Everything we think in prayer before Him, He hears it. And get it from God. That's where we deal with this battle. That's how we come up with what we need to fight the battle with. Praying always. I guess the one thing that the enemy can do to us is you don't need to pray about that. That's too little. You know, don't worry about it. You're just too busy today. You better get on out to school, or you better get on out to work, or you're too busy. You don't have time to pray. Well, like some well-stated, somebody said one time he went out without praying and said, well, I don't have time to pray this morning. So he went out and everything went wrong that day. So next morning he said, well, I don't have time not to pray. We need that praying always, because without that, you see, we're not that dependent one. We need to be dependent on Him. And never, never think that He's not listening. Because He is. Sometimes He waits to see if we really want to know. Or if we really want this answer, He waits us out, that faith can come into play. But He's always there and always wants us to stand, always ready to give us a verse to stand on. And how many things we have in our minds that are thoughts we've been taught over the years, but I can't go get a verse for it. But in praying, that's one thing I should pray for. It's my own soul stability, a verse from God. That when somebody standing wants to argue me about it, I stand there with a smile and say, I don't know about you, but I know where I got my verse from. It is not a subject of contention. It's not something to argue about. It's a subject of worship. You got it from God. And those kinds of transactions just bring forth, indite a good matter. It brings forth worship before Him, and people want to argue about this or that, but you don't have to enter into that. That's not a subject for argument. You're before God. And that's where these battles will come in, and praying always, and with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto, with all perseverance and supplication for the gathered saints. No, we have the truth of the one body for all saints. May we never allow the devil to bring our hearts down to think that we're anything different. We're members of one body. And to pray for all saints is what we should do. That's the light of heaven shining in then through us, and a reflection through us on earth. And well might it be said that we challenge the devil's realm of darkness, because we're then a reflection of heaven itself, as a reflection of the man in the glory, the truth of the one body, and the fact that we're just not going to give in. I'm not going to give up these things. And to stand is just not let the devil persuade you or me that a lie is the truth. Because the power of darkness is his ability to persuade us that a lie is true. And he knows how to do it as a master of the art. So may he keep us. We are in a warfare. It's a serious warfare, yet we have everything we need. There is nothing that we need tonight that we don't have. We have everything we need. Do we want to use it? Because that's the next step, is I get down to my will. Do I really want to use it? And if it costs me something, do I want to use it? Because that's where the real battle lies, right in here. Well, shall we pray? Thank you.
Oh, Savior and happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His heaven, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Jesus, nothing else in all the